Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy Gerard and your girl Gabby back for episode 51 of the Kicks and Shit Show.
I almost wanted to throw in another sound there. Just to like see what you would do. Be like, oh.
See if that would throw me off or something. Like,
yeah, a little. Oh.
Okay, Cardi.
That's right.
Oh, Jesus.
Welcome back. You guys missed us, right?
It's like that's the thing that you say like every time we start a show. It's like, oh, you missed me, didn't you? And it's like funny because it's this weird motion
because
of like.
Because it's true? Is that why it's so funny?
It's this weird feeling of, wow, did I? Kind of, sort of. But then it's like, not like, really. Well,
I guess I did. Like, I feel like at this point you just miss me out of habit, Gerard. Like, this is episode 51.
It is. It is. We have come a long way. And as everyone knows, last week was our 50th episode. Shouts to Jacques Slay, the... you know, OG sneaker content king, creator. That was a really fun episode. We got a lot of good feedback from everybody. And, you know, 50 episodes kind of came and flew by pretty fast, right? Like, we started this last spring during pandemic. And, I mean, we're still in a pandemic, but it was, like, early pandemic. And look at that, 50 episodes in, and here we are. Feels like we're in a whole new world. Shouts to Aladdin.
We are a whole new world. I mean, they just announced today that New York is opening... in July.
Yep, July 2nd.
Fully opening. I mean, July 2nd. That's not a new world. Like, we finally caught up to Florida, you guys.
Which, in this case, yeah, I was going to say, I don't know.
I'm kind of here for it.
I was going to say, I don't know if we want to, like, use Florida as a benchmark for anything, but yeah, okay. I hear what you're saying.
Texas? I don't know if that's any better.
None of those states, I think, are states we want to use.
Sorry, America. We're fucked, but happy to be back open. New York is alive and well.
The only thing not opening will be Broadway, which, you know, that's not only from a entertainment and cultural standpoint for like wanting to do stuff. Like, again, think about all the workers and not just the actors, the people behind stage, right? The stagehands and Gabby, and you know, this is someone who works in production. All the people who do all the things that you don't see haven't worked in over a year as well. So that's something that, you know, we hopefully will have coming back sooner rather than later.
It takes a village. I mean, you guys know I went back to the Garden. You know, the Knicks have been on quite the streak since I've made my debut back. But we were back from a work perspective this week as well, which was really exciting. It's like, what is this new normal? And I know when I say 100% with New York and de Blasio, it's mostly like restaurants and bars and outdoor dining. Right, but right. Things have an opening in a way that we haven't in a year. But any progress to me is still progress. So I'm really excited to kind of see where things continue to go and evolve in these COVID streets.
Yes, and we've been in these COVID streets for, man, seems like forever. But folks, stay diligent out there. We're vaccinating at a super fast rate, which is awesome, but we still have a ways to go, so still be safe and diligent out there. Gabby, you know, what I wanted to really tap into this week, this has been such an interesting week, I feel like, in sneaker releases. I mean, every week sometimes is interesting, but I don't know. This one felt like it was... And I don't know if it was so much because the shoes were great, and we'll get into that, but it just seemed like a lot. It seemed like a lot of things came out this week. You agree, or you were like, nah, not really?
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, the fact that Air Max Day did not have as much heat as what's come out this week is very telling. I think, you know, there was that moment in February when the Air Jordan Silver Toe ones, the women, there was like a ton of heat right around that time. The University Blue ones, I mean, there were more than just ones that came out, but there was a lot of momentum right around that time, and we've kind of had a little bit of a lull since then. So to see all of the stuff that's coming out, you know, it's flex season. Like I said, people are gonna be outside, so I'm sure that has something to do with the fact that these are very unique collabs that are coming out. There's a lot of heat that's coming out. People want to wear sneakers again, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I love my slides at home, but I don't know, I'm ready for some good feet in the streets. The feet in the streets, Gerard.
You ready for that OnlyFans feet page we talked about?
I think you're more ready for that than I am. Let's relax. This will never happen. First of all, adorable feet.
Don't be putting out there in these streets. No, I am not a foot fetish, dude. Don't be saying that I want an OnlyFans. Don't be putting...
I meant your feet. I didn't mean you want me to create one so you can watch people's feet.
I don't want my feet out in the streets. No, I'm not doing No.
I mean, I have cute feet, and they're made for the streets, but that doesn't mean your girl's on OnlyFans. Wow. You know, work has been really good lately. I feel like I can cut back and be a little bit more choiceful with my side hustle these days.
OnlyFans feet.
That's a business opportunity right there. Well, listen, you know?
I mean, we had Tamara D on and we talked about that. I mean, you know for a fact that she did an OnlyFans feet. If she wanted to, she'd make a ton of money off that.
Absolutely. I think that's the business, though. It's the feet in the streets. That's what it is. That's the new spinoff from OnlyFans, you know? Feet in the streets. Fetishes only.
So, and on the spectrum, as we talked about, of fetishes, that's like, on the low level, right? That's like basic. There's way more weird stuff than that, which we don't got time for that on this show today.
That's for our After Dark that I keep teasing every episode that has yet to happen. We'll put that Kicks and Shit After Dark next to the TikTok channel that you've been talking about since the beginning of time. You guys, comment, let us know, tweet us. Which would you rather?
TikTok or KNS After Dark?
Feet in the street? TikTok or KNS After Dark?
I mean, you could probably do a combo of the three, right? Okay, let me not give people ideas.
All right. Save it for the after show, Drew.
So we mentioned there were releases this week. Of course, you know, there was the Nike Air Max 95, LeBron James, home team, right, in purple and gold, of course, representing the Lakers. He also has LeBron 8 Hardwood Classics come out, and it's a nod to Hardwood Classics that everybody knows, but that was a Cleveland Cavaliers year for him, so it's those blue and orange Cleveland Cavaliers old school jerseys, which I thought were pretty cool. Again, as a shoe, LeBron is just too big and bulky for me. It's not my particular style, but I know a lot of people were very happy about that. And I know last week we talked about the Jordan Amaa Manyik collaboration and how I took an L on raffle sign up, not the raffle itself. The raffle sign up took an L. Okay, be that as it may. So they released the full collection this week: clothing, some hoodies, shirts, joggers, some shorts, and of course the Jordan 3. Gabby, I did not even attempt to get the sneakers. I was like, you know, forget about the sneakers. That's going to be a no play. Forget it. Let me just try to get a t-shirt.
Nope.
A t-shirt. Big old fat L. A t-shirt.
Jerron, I just have one thing to say. Welcome to my world. I know I say this every week now, but like,
a freaking the struggle t-shirt.
Is real. I know it's a t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, that's the beauty of when Fear of God Essentials drops on PacSun, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Double click that Apple Pay. I don't care if I have six orders by the end of it. I know I've secured at least one bag. That's the most efficient shit ever. I mean, because I also use my phone as a work phone, unfortunately, I have to have a very complicated password. So I'm like sitting there sweating, being like, double click, enter your password. I'm like, this is 37 characters. Like, but at least that's a workaround. But it's true. I mean, I think the culture has changed so much, right? Especially now, because we've been inside for so long. Like, it's not just about the shoe anymore. It's about the fit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's about, like, you know, T-Mark is doing some great stuff with the hats that he's doing, you know, that with the limited drops, Hat Club as well. I mean, you're seeing that whole culture kind of changing and evolving. I mean, that's why Crocs was able to have a moment, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that would have happened if it wasn't for the pandemic.
Probably not. And, you know, I think you're right. You'd mentioned that, you know, in jest, but you're like, you know, people, it's feet season. But really, because what you're saying is, as things are opening up, people want to be out in the streets and looking fresh, right? So hence why all these collaborations that are not just shoes, but also apparel items, those are selling out as well. I mean, I'm sitting here going, people, like, when you go to the thing, like, what are people doing? Are you literally just, like, clicking on everything, dropping it in the cart and going, and then check out, like...
I think people are, though, and I think we're in a culture right now, and definitely we can talk through this more, but that people aren't necessarily just going for their sizes anymore because of the resale culture.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think because, you know, the demand for sneakers and for merch and swag is up so high that people are like, let me just get my hands on anything that I can get my hands on and either sell it or trade it for a pair in my size. I mean, I know that's a big thing right now.
100%. I think you're right, right? Like, a lot of people do it from that perspective. But something you just mentioned about with the culture and the resale, there was an interesting conversation happening on Twitter Spaces the other day. And, you know, it's something we talked about briefly last week. Like, how many people are actually into these collaborations and drops? Or is it just this idea of you have FOMO, right? And you just want to feel like you belong because everybody else is doing it too. Of course, I know there's a scarcity model. That's just what companies do because that's smart, right? Make a limited amount of something and have everybody go crazy because I get all that. But like, do people actually want to wear this stuff? Because like for me, again, when I mentioned the Armand Manier collaboration, that t-shirt was dope. Like, I'm like, ooh, that's a t-shirt I'm going to wear. And I already know the outfit I wear with whatever. I'm not just going and grabbing everything I see. We did a similar thing with you mentioned Fear of God Essentials, right? Like, I was like, ooh, this half zip, I would do this, right? I don't just grab everything just because it's there. I look for, am I going to actually wear this thing? And I feel like a lot of people maybe don't do that.
I was going to say, I think you and I are not necessarily in the majority, but also like it's the same with our sneakers, right? You and I consume sneakers in a way that we focus on livestock and not dead stock and wearing your kicks instead. It's the same, right? Like, you know, there's people that have like a full closet of Fear of God. I know that's the example we're rocking with today, but that doesn't mean everybody's wearing it. You know, I think a lot of people hold on to stuff, keep it on ice, see if they want it.
There's a whole bunch.
yeah. Try to sell it or even just like want to have it because they want to have it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And be like, look at this was so cool. Like the Knicks Kith collab. I love seeing that people are actually wearing it. You know, it's not meant to just be kept in the closet.
Your man, Anthony Danya, who's a guest on the show, he for sure rocks his Knicks Kith collaboration. Just about every time I see him at a Knicks game, that's what he's got on in his photo. So I appreciate that.
I think he's got a more extensive Knicks wardrobe than I do, which
I say it a lot. Well, you know, it is something that you know, and I wonder, right? Because so much of this is about people wanting to feel a part of something, right? And belonging. And I think, and that's a much deeper thing than just, even though, yes, it's a surface thing and fashion and products is consumerism and whatever, but it's also like, oh, it's this cool club and I want to be a part of it. And it's like, all right, like I get that, but like, you know, wear your cool club stuff, right? Like you don't need to do it just to keep it hidden away. Show it off, right? Rock it, like put on your gear. Which is why, again, you and I, we don't go after everything that comes out because I think our first choice is always whenever images get leaked, ooh, will I wear that? That's my first question. Not, oh, isn't it fresh? Oh, who did it? Will I wear it? No? Well, then I'm good. I don't care.
But I think what you say that was most interesting to me here is being a part of the club, right? Like, let's unpack that for a second. I think there's a number of layers to that where it's not just being the club, but it depends on your point of entry to the level of club, right? It's almost like initiation into a secret society that's like obviously not so secret because it's like right. out and in your face. But I think the first point of entry is sneakers. Where do I begin? Where do I start? Ooh, this seems to be a style that, or a silhouette, like there's a reason that Air Jordan 1s are everywhere right now. It's a style, no matter what the colorway, is cool. Then you look at some of the other layers to that, right? Like the Sakais mm-hmm. to the Amamonier. Like, mm-hmm. what does that actually mean? Not just from an aesthetic standpoint, but like, let's unpack that. What is the meaning and the value mm-hmm. behind it? Mm-hmm. What does it stand for? Mm-hmm. Even like the Aleli May 1s mm-hmm. that just came out, like, not my favorite of hers right. personally. I mean, I took an L, shocking to nobody, but you know, I think the reasoning behind it.
Right, right.
That's also the other piece of that yeah. of that puzzle, the other layer in the cake. You know, the Travis Scott 6s, the British khaki. I'm like,
yeah, they're so it's funny because the Aleli May is really quick to go back to that. What I liked about that, again, it's a woman's shoes, and you know my thing, I don't go after women's releases. But I love the inspiration, right? Of course, everything Aleli does is true to her LA roots, but it's also inspired by her high school drill team, which I thought was, I love that, right? Going back to, like, in many ways, like, where it all started. I know, like, but that's something we talk about on this show and we have guests on all the time, right? Like, when did you first fall in love? Like, where did it all begin? And, like, I love that kind of infusion in there. Even when Jock showed his, the Nikes he created, right? It went back to when his grandpa took him and he had to go do stuff early in the morning. And it's all these little sort of like things that bring you back to the beginning when you remember and really like, this is a thing for you and you fell in love with it. I love yep. that. But the Travis Scott Jordan 6 British khakis, I agree. I saw them. I was like, nope. Not for me. However, the commercial, I did like seeing good old Rip Hamilton come out of NBA retirement and show up for that commercial. So that was kind of cool. But otherwise, like, that's, but again, like, you say it all the time. Like, we are not, like, we look at it a little bit differently than most, right? It's not like, ooh, this comes out, let me cop. Like, no, am I actually going to legitimately wear these, right? One of the ones I love talking about, the Jordan 7 with the faux rabbit leather, right? Like, that wasn't a popular shoe, right? But mm-hmm. I got it because I'm like, no, I'll wear it. And
you want to rock it.
Yeah, you've seen me in pictures with yep. it. I'm like, I like this. Like, it's very springy looking. Obviously, it looks like a bunny and stuff, right? But I'm like, I'm cool with it, right? And like, but that's the thing. And I think what we're really talking about is whom gets to decide what is sort of cool and relevant? And really, the answer is you do. Because you're the one wearing it. Like, you don't have to be like, oh, let me get this because it's popular. If you don't like it, you don't like it. Wear what you like. Maybe you like the British khakis. Okay, that's for you. Do you.
No, I agree with that. But I do think at a certain point, right, and Jacques talked about this in our last episode, is how much of it is just another colorway of the same stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think Off-White, you know, the Virgil collabs were really smart. They took a break from the ones because they don't want it to
yeah.
be spoiled. Or even, like, the Ambush Dunks, like, when those drop in the Royal, you know your girl is going to be front and center to take an L, but I'll be front and center trying to make a play for those. But that's also like my kind of colorway,
yes,
you know?
Yes,
like,
that is your jam.
Pink doesn't do it for me. I thought that Ambush Pink was great, but I think that's where a lot of it comes into play, right? Where it's interesting seeing what's happening with Kobe right now and mm-hmm. everything that's happened with his shoes and his silhouettes. And, you know, nothing but love and respect for Kobe and for the shoes. I think his silhouettes on the court are what changed the game for basketball sneakers in general. They mix in like the sock fit, the mm-hmm, high, the mm-hmm, low. It mm-hmm. wasn't just that high. I mean, mm-hmm. Jordan did mix in a little bit, but like the most popular styles were pretty much like high tops. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Kobe was one of the first to mix that up, but like they weren't the most popular selling shoes all the time, you know? And I think now that it's become more of a legacy play, mm-hmm. people are trying to get their hands on it. It's like when Jerry Lorenzo went to Adidas, all of a sudden the resale skyrocketed. Same yep. with Kanye. Yeah. I think to your point, it's that scarcity tactic, right? It's like once I realized that like I might not be able to get that anymore, all of a sudden everybody's trying to get it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's you're dead on with that. And it's so interesting you bring up Kobe because, you know, I think athlete signature shoe lines are so interesting. And we talked about this with Nick DePaula a few episodes ago, and you know, and I bring it up because, of course, Zion shoe debuted today. And, you know, it's clear what Jordan Brand's doing, right? They're positioning Zion as like this mythical superhero type figure, right? Kind of playing off, because superheroes are in right now. Marvel, DC, all that, right? That's popular. All right, Zion's a superhero.
Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I knew you were going to mention Space Jam. And they're going... They're going with that. And Zion is like, right, he's this larger than life, like superhero looking figure. And the thing I always ask myself is, okay, what is going to connect the people when they watch the Zion commercial and like, I got to get those shoes, right? And again, it's Jordan Brand. So the first, not problem, but the first hurdle to overcome is the ginormous shadow that is the man himself, Michael Jordan, right? Which we always say, because I mean, it's just there, right? I mean, it's the you are a Jordan Brand athlete, like you're not separate, right? It's not like you're a Nike guy. No, you are a Jordan Brand athlete. Jordan being Michael Jordan, right? And it just, I feel like all of that makes it so difficult. And I just wonder, with the ways in which young people consume sport and just things in general now versus how we did in the 80s. Is very different, right?
Very different. Like, yeah, absolutely.
In the mid-80s, like, in the mid-80s, I didn't have any cable, number one. So it was whatever the right 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, right? Those are the channels you had. Well, what else was I doing if I wasn't reading a book? Like, there was no internet, so I wasn't going to surf for things. Maybe you'd, like, rent a videotape from the BC, from the Blockbuster, or not even, whatever, before Blockbuster. But that's not going to have anything to do with new shoes coming out, or so I feel like your attention, you had less things to distract you, right? And when I watched those commercials as a kid growing up, it was like, oh, these shoes are going to make me play like so and so. It was this very sort of like visceral feeling connection you had from even Reebok pumps. I put these on, pump them up, I'm going to do XYZ. And you know, I didn't get the pumps, I had the bootleg LA Gear version, but same idea, right? Like it's, and I feel like now, do kids think about that in the same way? I don't know, right? Do they like see these athletes in their shoes and they're like, yeah, it's gonna make me play like so-and-so. Again, I'm far removed from that age range and I don't have anyone to ask, but I'm curious like how they internalize and consume that type of content and material.
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. I think the way that, you know, content is deployed now, you get it at an earlier age. So I think that just starts younger. You know, whether it's like a kid watching basketball on his iPad or seeing a cartoon version of something, or, you know, a basketball camp with your favorite athlete, like stuff like that that didn't exist when we were kids. I even think like the way that NBA 2K, you have the sneaker store that you can pick out your kicks specifically for the game, like that you can get, like, it's like an NFT, but for sneakers that you can buy limited drops. I mean, I'm sure I'll take an L there too, even on virtual sneakers, but like, you know, I think there's so many ways that sneakers are present and part of culture. And I think, like, I look at the design of the Zions, right? And yeah. I think it's very interesting to me because it does take a nod to that, like, Zorro meets superhero with the lightning bolts. Mm-hmm. I think the design actually is, like, and I'm sure I'm going to get nailed on this one, but because I've heard such mixed things about the design. I think the design is actually kind of cool. And what I like about it is it's a canvas.
Yeah.
I don't love all the colorways that have come out with like the patterns. I think some of it's trying a little hard, but I think, you know, in the way that I love some of the KDs, it's a canvas for a really cool thing. So I'm not as focused on the launch of this shoe. I think for me, it's about what's going to happen with it. And he does have that superhero like quality. You know, he's larger than life, literally busted through his shoes.
Right.
You know, that's like a comic book waiting to happen.
No,
I just aged myself with that one, but I think, you know, kids are still focused on the athlete and the way that they play the game. I think that's important. Like, look at Steph Curry.
True.
Were threes ever a thing until Steph Curry? Like, that type of game?
Well, certainly now, as Nick said, you got kids launching 50-foot threes who got no business doing stuff like that.
Yeah. Or, like, Kobe, who's known for his shots. Like, Kobe. Like, kids still have – there's still that connection to players. I think it just evolved a bit. But I'm curious to see, you know, how these Zions – go in terms of sales, because when Jordans came out, there was nothing to compare it to.
Right.
There were tons of athletes and tons of brands. Now, and I think you said this earlier as well, everything is under Jordan's shadow.
Yeah.
It's an extension of Jordan.
Mm-hmm. And that makes it difficult, right? Because that's the benchmark you're using. And I don't know if that's a fair benchmark to use going forward for any of these athletes, particularly ones that are under the Jordan brand, right? Because I think things are stratified and they're so different now. And I think people have different consumption habits and look at things differently. I just don't know if that is the model to use as, are you going to have 35 shoes? You know, probably not, right? So don't go into it with that idea. The other piece of it too, Jordan was associated and connected with winning, right? And so as a player, you have to, and he was also the first global superstar athlete. Like, people in all over the world know this man, right? Like, you have to transcend in that way. But to your point though, even though, yes, kids still consume, they do it in different ways, because I know a bunch of people who have children in the key target demographic this would be in, and I ask them and they're like, do your kids sit down and watch basketball games? They're like, no. Are you kidding? They don't attention span to sit down and watch 2 hours of a game. They're on like little highlights or whatever. So you wonder, like, again, and that's where the commercials are often interwoven, right? Are we going to do more on social, dropping an Instagram? And like, and that's where I always think about the NBA. Like, look, you've already got people like, well, I mean, I work in the industry. You're a fan. I'm a fan. Like, forget about us. Like, how are you grooming your next generation of fans, right? The ones who are literally born in the internet era, who just don't, right? This is all they know. How are you changing a product for them so that they become, when they're in their 50s and 60s, like, oh, I love this game, right? Like, because you see it in that younger age range, they don't sit down and watch whole games. As a kid, are you kidding? I would watch playoff games beginning to end. And I don't know many kids in that young age who do that. That's just not a thing.
No, I agree with that. I also think it's very interesting because you think in like this culture now that we are in of short attention spans, quick turns. I wonder if the same applies to fashion, right? Where, you know, spending $200 on a pair of sneakers, if you have like 37 favorite players,
right.
You know, or that style's gone. And it's like, now we're like, okay, what's next? So mm-hmm. I think it would be really interesting if a brand put out something that was a little bit more affordable to kind of test that model. I honestly think that, you know, sales would probably be better overall if that was the case. And I think, you know, the thing about Jordans for me is that we're up to 35.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch in the middle that a lot of people forget
right,
about.
No doubt.
And nobody talks about. Mm-hmm. But I also think that the reason that the Jordan 1 works so well from a fashion standpoint, I mean, we all saw Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan talked about how it made his feet bleed at Madison Square Garden. The technology has evolved so much mm-hmm. that, you know, something that's functional now may not be as fashionable because the needs from the athletes and the demands yeah. of, like, being on the court and yeah. these crazy NBA schedules are very different. But what's not to say in 20 years from now, when we look back at right. like some of those LeBron silhouettes, mm-hmm. as yeah. things continue to evolve and change, like people of the next generation are going to be talking about that. Like, how did LeBron even play in those?
Yeah.
First of all, they're so cool, but like, how did he play in them? Like
yeah.
the technology evolution, I think is going to be really interesting to watch and see how that unfolds.
That's a fair place to end this. And I love your point there, right? Like, start out with the shoe being about the functionality and the performance, right, for the athlete, and then let the marketplace decide if they think it's also fashionable as well, right? And that may not be a same time thing, and that's part of the thing from a money making standpoint, right? They may not decide today that the LeBron 17s are also fashionable, right? It may take 5 years, 6 years, I don't know, and I think that's sort of the idea. But I love that. Well, folks, this is a conversation that it's going to go on forever because that's just the nature of the shoe game. But coming up, we're going to do shoe and tell, just the two of us. You know, you guys know about shoe and tell. It's presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. No, we're not going to be showing 85 million pairs, but just look, you know, I'm going to show a pair. Gabby's going to show a pair of some recent, a little recent cop that we both got. And, you know, we're pretty happy about. So stay tuned. What's good, y'all? We are back, and it is time for America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by AnotherLane.com, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. Guys, every episode I come on here and tell you about Chad and Adina and how incredible and amazing they are, how they're so tied into the culture, how they are literally taking over. They are everywhere. First of all, they're being covered by prestigious media outlets, this one included. They have people on ESPN shouting them out. They got NBA, WNBA players. They are the real deal. If you are someone who has sneaker collections, you're into sneakers, you want to be part of a community that is really here not for the capitalism, but for the actual community. This is a place you need to be on. Go check out anotherlane.com if you want to put your collection up there because you want to perhaps sell, collect with some other different people. Chad and Dina will vet you, make sure you're legit. Put your collection up there, boom, and they'll take it from there. It is on that Twitter Spaces conversation I told you about. Anotherlane.com was shouted out, and they weren't even in there. I'm telling you, they. When I talk about people who are plugged in and who know, and everyone knows Sneaker Galactus. I mean, he of course is a sneaker god, but it's just they're a wonderful, wonderful couple, and what Another Lane is doing is incredible. So I want you guys to definitely go and check that up, check them out. Anotherlane.com. Now, shoe and tell time. It's just us. Gabby, up first. What are you going to show me?
Well, I'm going to show you a pair that, you know, I did a little poll beforehand because I really love these shoes and I haven't owned a pair actually ever in this silhouette, but it's a style that I'm like, I've been waiting to get like the right colorway. And, you know, I think I could actually rock it quite nicely with what I'm wearing right now.
You sure could.
I think this is a silhouette that's interesting because to me it just like screams nostalgia. It's classic. It's a classic colorway. But the people were like, some of them were like, eh. And I'm like, you know what? Nobody was actually asking you.
You like what you like. Right. You like what you like.
I was going to say, I'm like asking to be polite. But like, you know.
I don't actually.
I'm a do me no matter what. So appreciate the thoughts, you know. But I'm a grown-ass woman who's going to buy my own damn sneakers, whether you like them or not.
Exactly.
So I'm going to show you these.
Ooh, love them. The Air More Up Tempos. Yes. Ooh. Now, I remember when the release was coming out, I was like, oh, I know somebody who's getting these or going to try to get these. Faux show. And I'm glad you took a W on these. Love them. Old school, classic, brings back that 90s feel. I love those, man.
I do, too. And it's got like this. It's not too high. It's not too low. It's a nice little mid. I think my favorite part about this shoe, though, is the patent detail on this one.
Yeah.
Like, look at that sparkle, guys.
It's legit,
and you
man.
Know what? If you're listening in and not watching, go head over to our YouTube page.
Yep.
Hit that subscribe button. Mm-hmm. Take a look because she cute. You know?
No, those are cute
shoes. Your
girl's
going to get vaxxed and waxed and take these out of the town, okay? That is the game plan, okay?
Vaxxed, waxed, and I mean, there's so much to it.
Beats in the streets, Gerard. Beats in the streets. Trademark coming soon.
So much to unpack of that statement. No, but I love those. So definitely going to be rocking them this spring and summer. I could see that. Not at the beach, though, because, you know, ain't nobody putting their shoes on at the beach because what the is that all about?
I'm from Jersey, and I just, you know, the Jersey Shore gets a bad rap. But I do want to say before I say why I think it gets a bad rap is or what it gets a bad rap for, most of the people that give it a bad rap ain't from Jersey. We like to call them Bennies, which I just think is hilarious because my brother's name is Ben, so he doesn't love when I say things like this. But, you know, the Bennies that come in, you know, that trendy time of year, a.k.a. summer, a.k.a. DJs, Desjois, Jenkinson's Boardwalk, Seaside Heights.
Bar A, is that still a thing?
I mean, Bar A is still a thing, yeah, you know. But I don't think you see as much of the, like, sneakers in the sand as you do it, like, Tiki on a Monday. If you guys have never been to the Jersey Shore and you want to see a sight to be seen.
Tiki on a Monday?
Take off Monday. Tiki on a Monday. Industry day, strippers and clippers. It is something to be seen. You see a lot of Jordans on the beach, a lot of uptowns.
Oh, my God.
A lot of people not from Jersey. But you know
happening?
What?
What is happening?
People watching is a vibe. I've been inside seeing only like my padded walls for a very long time, so I am here for it. But there's a lot of sand. You know, you don't bring sand to the beach, but you do bring Jordans if you're from Staten Island. So
I love it. You don't bring sand. Listen, you're on a roll today. I'm loving it. You got all the game is working today. Shouts to you.
In the street.
All right, folks, this is a new a recent purchase that I made. And
I need to stop before you. And I'm sorry to interrupt. But
yeah.
Say that sentence.
Oh, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. Everyone knows. Yes, recent purchase. Haha. I did not get these for free as I usually try to get all my shoes for free because look, that's how I do.
I feel like we had to throw that one in there. Gerard, already I'm excited.
Anyway, these are newer in terms of athlete. So these are the Kyrie Flytrap 4s. And again, not a very popular or coveted shoe. But what I like and what attracted me to it immediately, Gabby, was the colorway. And which is funny because you know, you're like, Gerard, you like white shoes. What's going on?
But you like a DMP.
You see, not see, there you go. There you go.
Dots are connected today, Gerard.
So of course that black gold, right? That's mm-hmm. just, I love the contrast. I think it's so wonderful. And you know, I talked about high tops in the summertime and I was like, oh, I don't love them, but these, while they are highs, they're kind of like, you know, not high highs, as I like to say, right? They're closer to a mid than they are to like a true, like old school high. But Kyrie shoes are always done well. I love the detailing, the Kyrie Irving logo on the bottom. I love the soles of these shoes. And it's so comfortable, man. Like I put these on, I'm like, man, these can be like, if I got shorts on and a tee, my like running around in the streets shoe, like, you know, doing whatever, going to brunch today, got to go run to do something, pick up groceries, whatever. Got it. Cool. Also, nighttime.
It's in the streets, Gerard. That's what it is. Brunch is not exempt from feet in the streets.
Well, it's true. And now that things are opening up, we can do that. And at night, if I wear Yes. I'm at the royal we, but yeah, sure, you and I.
Brunch episode? You're saying all the right things right now.
I'm going to kill you. And then later on, right, if I want to go like jeans or whatever, I could still rock these and they look really nice enough to be like, you know what? I can still get away with going to a little bit of a nicer spot inside for dinner with these on. So shout out to Kyrie. I like these. The Flytrap 4s, black and gold. Real nice. Love the detailing. You know I love that black and gold. So shouts to Kyrie Irving. Shouts to Nike for coming through with that.
A nice light shoe, too, for yes, summer. I think from light. Like a weight standpoint. That's mm-hmm. the one thing about the Uptempos is it's a heavier shoe, yeah. But, you know.
You're okay.
I'm not a petite lady, so I think that's okay. But for me, it doesn't bother me. But I like the lightness and the breathability in those Kyries.
Yes, that's the right. Because, again, summertime, if I'm going to rock them, that's what they got to be. Well, folks, that's all for today. It's just us, you know, little catch up, letting you know how we're doing, talk about the industry, show you a pair of new purchases we made. We've got some cool guests coming up in the weeks ahead, so you guys stay tuned as always. And you know, we are part of the Count the Dings family. You find us on that bomb podcast feed. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We're everywhere, man. At Kicks and Shit Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. And that's it. You thought I was going to say TikTok, but I did not.
We are and feetsinthestreets.com coming soon.
Until next time, y'all. Peace.